Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
We're going to be in Psalms chapter 5. I'm going to share a few pictures just from my trip, just because you guys are, a part of while I'm there. You're praying for me. That's why I try to put the pictures up there so you guys can get a feel for. Yes. This is at the Bible school in Guyana. And everybody know where Guyana is? It's on the northern shore of South America. So Venezuela, it's between Venezuela, Guyana, Suriname, and then there's some other countries, smaller countries around the corner. So these are some of the people I work with. Lewis is on the right. Lewis, this was his 28th year of being in Guyana. It was probably his last year. He's a missionary. Him and his wife were missionaries to Haiti many years. He was a school teacher. And then felt the call to missions. And so they were, 20-some years in Haiti. But he's been in Guyana 28 years. So it was under Lewis that I, you can go back to that one, Chris. It was under Lewis that I took my first trip. The other couple there is Grady and Janet Smalling. And that's the first time I've met them. But they've been working in Europe. They work with human trafficking awareness, working with ladies that have been affected by human trafficking. So they did a seminar the Saturday I was there, and it's pretty just alarming what is happening, not only in Europe, but in the United States. And some of the stories there you just think are unthinkable. I don't know if you've seen the movie Taken, but it comes along those lines. Some of that stuff's not made up. I mean, some of the stuff that the guy does, shooting people and stuff like that, But some of the stories, some of these ladies are just tricked into it. They're offered saying, hey, we got this job opportunity for you in this other community. And the parents, they talk to the parents and they go and they never end up in that community and they end up in a human trafficking situation. Many times they're drugged. It's a bad situation. So, and then the other lady, Darla, she is kind of the registrar and she lost her husband about 2 years ago. So she's kind of traveling alone, but she works with CST, Caribbean School of Theology. They have another name for Caribbean School of Theology, CST. It's Can't Sleep Tonight, but because they take three classes in 3 weeks. So it's a pretty intense period for these guys. And what Caribbean School of Theology does is most of the Bible schools in Belize, Jamaica, Guyana, Suriname, Bahamas, all those places usually I'll offer like a 2-year degree for pastors, 54 credits. Okay, so now if you do a BA degree, you're looking at how many credits? 128 usually, right? Okay, so it helps them to get the remaining credits so that they can get their BA degree. So they enroll into basically, it's a 5-year commitment for them to come for 5 years to come to this 3-week segment. And if they do that, usually they have enough credits to graduate with a BA. And then a lot of them choose to go on to a master's level that CST offers as well. So it's a great opportunity for them. Okay, let's keep rolling here. This is a family. It's an Indian family. So Guyana is made up of half African and half India, from India. They primarily make up the two different people groups that are there. But when you go through this national park, it's about 20 minutes away from where I'm staying. I walk there, and then you walk around this national park, and you see people from all over the world there. So it's a very mixed culture. So we had a kind of a traditional Indian meal, some curry chicken and stuff like that. But they roasted some potatoes that they get from Miami. This family is fairly wealthy, so they've done okay for themselves. So they probably had some of the things that a lot of families don't. So okay, next slide. They had us out for one night. And there's Lewis again and then the couple, all right? Very beautiful home. All right, and this is the church where I preached on Sunday. So a similar size congregation. A lot of the churches there in Guyana would be a similar size to ours. There was one of the churches I spoke at last year that was probably ran 500 to 700, but I would say this is fairly common. Okay, next one. And this is Pastor Archer, and so he's also in the gold mining business. So gold is a big thing in Guyana. So he's also a pastor. And that picture's kind of dark, but she came up and talked to me. But she was, when I talk about Nebraska, they don't have, a lot of them don't have a lot of context for where Nebraska is. But she lived a year in Nebraska because she's a professor at University of Guyana, and so she did a year of research at UNL. So she came up and introduced herself. And the big guy in the middle is Gary. He's a great guy, just very lovable, great musician. He's kind of the administrative assistant there at the Bible College, and he's kind of our go-to guy. And then Desmond, he runs all of our errands. He's also a pastor. So I recruited some Husker fans. You can see that they all have a Husker hat on. So we took a picture with our Husker hats. And all right, we can go to the next one. And this is my class. I had 26 students, and all of them are involved in ministry. Some were their husbands. Kay, you know, her husband, I had last year for my class, and they're doing an incredible work in the churches that they're at. Most of them were pastors, but I had a medical doctor that was there. I had one of the guys that's an air traffic controller, so he brought in some of the planes there in Georgetown. So just a very diverse group, but all of them are adult students. A lot of them even had their degrees. So, all right. And this was finals day, so I told him to take a goofy one. So it was a very tough final. And all right, keep going. And this is graduation day, so a lot of these guys, and you can just kind of scroll through these here. And so most of these, here, I'll just point out a few of these. I had Neil Prasad. He's Indian, but he was in my class last year, graduated this year. This is George. George was a devout Muslim. Back several years ago, and he went to a party that a friend had invited him to, and the gospel message was preached, and he committed his life to Christ, had a great, incredible transformation. But he's an orphan, and he ended up marrying a wife that was also an orphan, and she looked Chinese to me. But they're doing a great work back out in kind of the more interior of Guyana, outside of Georgetown, and they've started up their own orphanage. They had a piece of property that God placed on their heart and says, we would like to build an orphanage there, but it's very hard to get property in Guyana. You have to get the government approval of it, and you have to kind of know somebody. It's kind of one, it's just a lot of corruption, just a lot of hoops. But God granted them favor, and they got permission to build it and to move ahead with it. So I think they got it completely built, and he was a pretty incredible student, and he asked a lot of questions. And go back to that one, Chris. And and then we had Donnie Holder. He was in it. Some great people. Yeah, I guess we can move on. So, all right. There's the picture of Neil and his family. His mom's on the right. So I had both. I had son and daughter. I mean, mother and son last year in the class. So they both were pretty sharp students. So, and then this is his family. So, all right. All right. Then we got the video. So I'm going to show a video just so you kind of get a little bit of. And you make sure you have to get the volume up on it good enough. But just a little bit. They just did a thank you on the last day of class. And so we're going to clip a segment of it. And it was a thank you to me, but also to you guys, because you're partnering with me in this. And but it gives you a little bit of feel for who they are. So
when I heard that professor would be here, and I heard the name, I said, it sounds German. From the movies we see, I know sometimes we get his ideas about the Germans. But nevertheless, he has taught us well. There are many things we are going to go away from here with, and we'll continue to practice. I don't want him to feel as though because of the information that we will shut it away. But trust me, the Old Testament is a wonderful subject. It is a part of the Old Testament, and we will never be able to keep it in a box. right?
Yes.
And so I want to call Pastor Eileen to come and present to you this wonderful token of love and appreciation. Let's come forward.
Wow. On behalf of Max, we want to say thank you very much. We appreciate what you did for us. We have learned a lot that you have heard. And I want to say, may God wish me blessing. Keep you. When you come again, it will be like you were.
All right. Wow. What we got? All right.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm going to put that right on my desk there. All right. All right. Got that. What else we got? There's something else in there. Here we go. There we go. There has to be a story with that someplace, right? Take off your shoes, right? You're on holy ground. All right. Well, thank you. It has been it's been a joy to come back to Guyana on this second time, and I've been to a lot of places in the Caribbean, but just have gotten to know a lot of you, and some of the best relationships that people have in the Caribbean are with you folks. In around this building and the students. So, even graduating this year will be some I had last year. And it's been great. It's been a privilege and a joy to be here. And God bless you.
So Ron is the one. He's the air traffic controller. He was the one announcing. And they were some neat students. And it was a great opportunity. I'm going to share a little bit about. I guess the message this morning kind of dovetails with my trip a little bit in Psalms 5. Whenever you take a big trip like that, and a lot of you have taken trips, and it's one thing to just kind of, I guess, get on a flight or two, but this, it gets a little more extensive when you have to go through other countries and. You just deal with stuff you don't deal with in the United States. So on the trip down, we get to Port of Spain and Trinidad, and in the States they would have just kept you on the same plane, or you'd stay within your area. If you went through security, they would just reroute you. But they made us get out. We were supposed to stay on the plane, but they canceled our flight plus the other flight after that to Guyana. So they make us get off the plane. Not only did they make us get off the plane, but then we had to get out, go through. Immigration, we had to go through customs, come back through security to get back to the gate that we just walked out of. And you just have to put up with stuff like that. It's kind of like nobody knows what's happening at times, and it's kind of like gives you a real good feeling of security. and then on the way back, got a couple, a couple hours of sleep before we had to go to the airport. So it was about 12:30 in the night when we left. And so by the time I got to Chicago, there again, we get to Port of Spain. So it's about our flight from Guyana to Trinidad. And there again, we were supposed to stay on the plane and just, and then go up to Miami. But instead of doing that, they made us get off the plane again. I had to go through security and come back to the gate. Fortunately, I was with the lady, Darla. She had a wheelchair, And so I got to go through with her. So her line was short. I didn't have to wait. So I said, I'm with her. And so we got through that, but Miami had to go through, customs and immigration, and so they pulled me out. I must look suspicious, and they went through all my stuff, And you have to do that, and you kind of think, well, I got my flight coming up, and then they couldn't print off baggage stuff. But I make it to Chicago, and finally was able to catch my breath a little bit at Chicago. But by that time, I was hitting the wall a little bit, just was being tired, and. But I had a good bowl of soup and a good salad, and it just kind of like, wow, it just tasted good. And they have good food there, but when you kind of get back to your own food, it's just kind of like you're getting a little bit back to home, and it just tasted good. And But as I was just had a little downtime there in Chicago as I waited for my flight to Omaha, I was reading Psalms 5 and just reading through the Psalms, and I hit verse 12 of Psalms 5, and it just really kind of stood out for me. But let's look at that. It's talking about, well, let's read through it here. David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God." So this is a guy that's, he took on Goliath, he took on the lion and the bear. He's not a pushover, okay? But he's definitely in a time of where he's crying out to God, right? He's sighing. That means he's overwhelmed. There's distress that is happening in his life. He says, "My King and my God, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." So there's needs he's bringing before God. "You're not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence, I will bow down towards your holy temple." So he has a pursuit of righteousness. He wants to seek God, even though there's some opposition, obstacles, hardship. Verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me." So David is having some resistance, whether it's from sinful men, whether it's because he's a king and they don't like how he's being king, how he's ruling. He has opposition, and he's feeling that. Verse 9, he says, "Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongue will speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God, and let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But I will take refuge in you. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous, and you surround them with favor as with a shield." Father, we give you the praise and the glory, and I just ask your anointing upon your word this morning in these final minutes. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. David says, "You bless the righteous, O Lord, with favor as with a shield." You know, and that just kind of stood out to me, especially when you're kind of exhausted, you're drained, and you've expended all that you have. And when we're in our own comfort zone, our own little bubble of Crete, Nebraska, or wherever we're at, we feel in control a lot. Okay? We feel, you know, we're comfortable, we know where we're at. But when you're traveling great distance, 40,000 feet up in the air, or you're dependent on other people to say yes or no, you know, there's not a lot that's in your control. You're dependent upon other things. And so, as I was reading that, it was just a word of hope and encouragement to me that you surround your people with your favor as with a shield. And as I was studying this, you know, I found out, you know what, that's a pretty common theme throughout Scripture. Did you know that? It goes all the way back to Genesis 15. If you turn to Genesis 15:1, Abraham, God calls Abraham, and Abraham did not know God, and so you have, I don't know how God spoke to him. If it was audible voice, I don't know if he came in human form. We don't know. But God speaks to Abraham and says, "I want to leave your people." It wasn't a Christian nation. It was a heathen nation, worshiped many gods. And now one God was saying, "I want you to follow me, to leave your people, to leave your land, to travel across a distant land to the land of Canaan." And God makes a covenant with him. A covenant is agreement between God and man. And God says, "You know what? If I will bless you and I'll make you into a great nation if you will follow me and obey me." And Abraham takes up that challenge. But you think about all that Abraham would have to endure. Traveling in those days into unfamiliar territory, there was always the threat of bandits. There wasn't police or protection as we would consider it. You were always susceptible to raiders or bandits coming in, attacking your party, and so they usually traveled in groups. But what does God say to Abraham in Genesis 15:1? He says, "Do not be afraid, for I am your shield. I am your shield." That word shield is used 76 times in the English Standard Version. Many times it refers to a piece of equipment called a shield, okay? All right? And when we think of armor, there's offensive armor and defensive armor. So what's some offensive armor? Sword. What else? Spear? Okay. What else? AK-47. They didn't have those back in those days, but it would be, wouldn't it? All right, bow and arrow. Those would be offensive. What would be a defensive? Shield, helmet, breastplate. Yeah, sometimes body armor. Yeah. And so shield, there's kind of a couple words that are used. There's probably five, but two primary ones. And David will use two of them. In Psalms 3, he mentions, you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. So that refers to a smaller shield, which in the Hebrew is called Megan. All right? So we have our small shield right here. All right? All right. And then we have the big shield was called the Sinna, S-I-N-N-A, the Sinna shield, which was a full body shield. Alrighty, it would protect you from the top of your head to all the way to your feet, and you would hide behind it. It was a full. And so when David says, "You're a shield around me, your favor surrounds me," it wasn't talking about a smaller shield in that context, but a full shield that would protect them. And we know that in David's situation, being out in battle, a shield was indispensable. To have a shield to protect you from arrows or from the sword that was coming at you or a spear, a shield was indispensable to have, to protect, and to shield a person. And as you think about that, David was saying, "You know what, Lord, I've been in battle." He was battle-hardened. And he knew the benefit of having a shield and how a shield had probably saved his life many times. Right? The arrows that had come his way had saved his life many times. And he says, "You know what? In the same way, metaphorically speaking, he says, God, you are a shield to me. You protect my life with your favor. It surrounds me." Maybe from arrows and attacks and things that we cannot see with our eyes, but that are just as real and just as tangible. Think about the attacks that come our way. What shape and form do they come in? What are some of the arrows or the darts that the enemy brings your way? What kind of shape or form do they come in? Strife?
Animosity?
What else? Sometimes persecution. Sometimes it can be very physical, can it? Yeah. What else? Accusations, yeah. Condemnation, yeah. Sometimes he gets in our head, doesn't he? The enemy does. Those darts come our way, right? And you have to have that shield of faith to put it up. The enemy comes in. And David felt those. And he was facing it from enemies that seemed to be very tangible, very real. That were resisting him, that were fighting against him. And even though he was king, he still felt defenseless. He still felt vulnerable. He still felt weak. And he says, "So surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with favor as with a shield." You know, and this is a theme that not only stays in the Old Testament, but even branches into the New Testament. Because then you look at Ephesians 6, which I referred to, Paul says to put on the what? The full armor of God, right? Paul's writing this. Where is he writing this and penning it out? Roman prison. He's writing to the Ephesians, and he says, put on the full armor of God. And when you look at the context of Ephesus, Ephesus would be a very... The gospel would really take a foothold in the city of Ephesus. And God would do incredible things there. But Paul would also face a lot of persecution in the city of Ephesus. And his life would be in danger. And he would write about the silversmith in Ephesus that he did me much harm, is what Paul would say. And so Paul faced a lot of spiritual warfare in Ephesus. And when he writes to the Ephesians, he tells them, put on the full armor of God so that you can resist the day of evil when it comes. And so one of the things he says to take up is the shield of faith. And then Peter. I didn't even realize this was in Peter. I've read it many times. But 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Peter says, praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his grace and mercy, he has given us new birth into a new and living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And I don't know if you've ever thought of God as being a shield around you, but there's definitely been times where I've sensed God's presence and his favor be a shield of protection around me, and to know that God is going before me and watching over my life. When I was looking for some images of a shield, and I was kind of Googling, trying to find a shield, and guess what came up for shield? No. Cell phone covers. That's what came up. I wonder if that's what we're most important about protecting nowadays, to shield. But, you know what? This cell phone case that I have by SpyGen, I've dropped this on concrete many, many times. And it doesn't break. Usually, if you drop an iPhone on concrete, it's going to go, right? But this is just bounces. It goes boink, 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 boink. It protects it. It still goes through the fall, but it's protected from the effects that happened. You know what, God? You know, God wants to shield us in that same way. And the verses that we read in Psalms 91, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And David, I think, learned the secret that, you know what, when I dwell in God's presence, when I walk in his ways, I'm also under his protection, under his shield. And his favor then blesses and covers over me. Amen. I'm going to have the musicians come. It's not a real long message today. And next week we're going to... I'll talk more about that. But I'm going to have the musicians come. Would you stand this morning? And there was a sweet presence here this morning. And maybe God is ministering to you as well. Maybe you've had just a lot of stuff attacking you. A lot of things just coming upon you. And you just need to be reassured of God's promise and his presence in your life. I'm going to have those that are going to help out with prayer, Victor and Yolanda, if you join me, and Karen and Josh. So if you have a need this morning, I just encourage you to make your way forward. Just enter into worship and just let God minister to you this morning.